Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Glad you're here for worship here this evening as we exit one year and begin anew. We look forward to God's blessings to us both now and always. And we receive His grace to us this night through the Word and the sacraments. And so we do that using Divine Service Setting 4, beginning on page 203 in our hymnal. Special thank you to Mrs. Alicia Hagen for playing on the organ tonight as Keith is out with a little under-the-weather condition. You are invited to join us for our next Eat Night for the School. That's 1 week from this coming Monday. That'll be at Hickory River in Champaign, so the new one down at the Fields, southwest part of town. So you're welcome to join us for that. Flyers should be available on the table. If they're not there tonight, they'll be there tomorrow morning for church and then by Wednesday as well for our midweek service. If you would like to take a poinsettia with you this evening following our service, you're welcome to do so. They have done their work well decorating our sanctuary for Christmas, and now they can return or go to homes for further decoration at your dwellings. We sing now our first hymn, hymn 733, O God, our help in ages past. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon Him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Together we chant our introit on the following page, Psalm 90, verses 1 through 12.
Silence the word of our hands.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we commit to your mercy and forgiveness the year now ending, and commend to your blessing and love the times yet to come. In the new year, abide among us with your Holy Spirit, that we may always trust in the saving name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for New Year's Eve is from Isaiah chapter 30. And now go, write it to them or before them on a tablet and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever. For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, "Do not see," and to the prophets, "Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Leave the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel." Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore, this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And its breaking is like that of a potter's vessel that is smashed so ruthlessly that among its fragments not a shard is found with which to take fire from the hearth or to dip up a cup of water out of the cistern. For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling, and you said, "No, we will flee upon horses." Therefore you shall flee away, and we will ride upon swift steeds. Therefore your pursuers shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of 5, you shall flee, till you are left like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Amen.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Stay dressed for action, and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Together we confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What kind of emotions come with the ending of a year? Are you relieved? It's finally over. Do you have anxiety that you did not accomplish all that you had intended to, that you had hoped for? Do you regret certain actions or conversations you had this past year? Are you afraid what the next year may bring? Do you have hope that the new year brings new blessings, new experiences, and good ones at that? The end of the year is certainly a time for people to take an inventory of their lives, like businesses tend to do. Take stock of all that you have gone through, good and bad. Evaluate your progress, your failures. These practices that do typically surround our New Year's Eve celebrations, as Americans, are not biblical. There's nothing in the Bible that teaches us how we are to ring in a new year, how to end an old one. So, do you really want to go through with it? Do you really want to relive your greatest and your worst moments? And what good will that ultimately do you? This is not an attempt to be a pessimist or a fatalist, Debbie Downer or wet blanket, the end of the year festivities. It certainly is good for all people to strive to do better, and God knows we can certainly do better. Have a positive outlook on this life. But I can guarantee, 1 year from now, you will be in the same situation, going through most of the same emotions. You all have similar successes and failures, and you will be wondering what you will do about those this time next year. As you conduct your own year in review, you will find you were not as kind as you had hoped. Your patience was more sparse than your successes at keeping your resolutions. You did not treat your family and friends as gently and mercifully as you could have. And in these ways, you and the people of Israel in Isaiah's day match up nicely. Isaiah was sent by God to address the nation, the kingdom of the south of Judah, before its fall headlong to exile under the Babylonians. As our Old Testament text for tonight states from Isaiah 30, he was there to inscribe God's accusations against his people, to do so engraved in a book. For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord. Harsh words, firm words from God, words you probably would not even get to hear from parents to their children today. But even though God had been so good to them, so faithful to them, the Israelites, the The Judeans in the south had failed to keep their side of the deal. They were supposed to follow God's law, to live out their lives in a way that would indeed show they were different, they were special as the chosen people of God. Instead, they continually slunk back to their ways of this broken world. While there were probably Hebrew men who would likely shave off their beards or at least trim them to mirror their secular counterparts, women amongst the Jewish people who would wear clothing more revealing than that of their pagan peers, it was their characteristics, their mindset, their behaviors that were seriously condemning. God's people were failing to be godly people. No virtuous living, no kindness to those less fortunate than them, no heart of mercy, of grace, of forgiveness, which had most certainly been shown to them. So along come the prophets to steer them back on track, back on course, with calls for repentance. And quite quickly, the people would refuse in their sin, saying to the seers, "Do not see." To the prophets, "Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy illusions. Leave the way, turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel." Or as Paul will later write, people will surround themselves with teachers who will scratch their itching ears, telling them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. We like our lives and our living easier, simpler, like the neighboring peoples. All of this just feels good. And what feels good cannot possibly be wrong, right? Love is love, we are told. We must tolerate every person, regardless of their sinful views, behaviors, and practices. It is all too easy for the people of God to fall off the straight and narrow path, both then and now. God's messengers are sent in to intervene. First, by preaching the law to make sin sting once again. And second, to lead to turning from those stinging ways. Evaluating our past, our decisions that we've gone through, our previous year of life, a depressing task. Yes, we have some achievements, some successes for which we certainly can be proud. But these are easily outnumbered by our loss and our flaws and our failures that keep dragging us down. Another year of the same old swamp of our minds, our mouths, our actions. It makes us fearful for the future and hopeless that anything will change. Sin, guilt, judgment rule the day. You can try to block them out, push them down, ignore them, but they're as much a part of you as your own skin. Alone, we stand accused before God of all of our failures to live up to His expectations as His called people. And our fearfulness and our hopelessness here in ourselves now encounters the God who conquers all fear and creates the surest of hope. Emmanuel, God with us. This also Isaiah is blessed to prophesy. God would not let go of even his rebellious children, his people. He does not let go of you. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. What a prophecy. A son to be born to a virgin, and his name will be called God with us. This is none other than a prophecy of the incarnation, the promise renewed that the Son of God would take on flesh and become also Son of Man. God would come here, dwell with his people, and he would do it for his people. We were blessed most recently to celebrate the birth of our Lord, the incarnation revealed, the Word made flesh. God with us has been here in this world, walked this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. If the Lord Jesus himself were to do an inventory of his life each and every year, it would be drastically different than ours. He would have no regrets about the past, no anxieties for the future. Everything he set out to accomplish was a success. His thoughts, his words, his deeds were good and kind and gentle and merciful, patient. All of them perfectly. There was no thought in his mind ever of frustration with mankind. Why can't they do this? It's not that hard. Rather, the Lord Jesus knows precisely that we cannot do it, that we cannot live perfectly under God's law. That ended any possibility the moment sin entered into this world. So only God could come, and only God could fulfill his law and keep it for us. And that is what Jesus has done. He then took that perfection, that pristine nature, to the place of sacrifice, to the altar of the cross. His suffering, his death, secured our forgiveness, our life, and our salvation. And Isaiah reminded God's people of God's word that said, "In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength." In other words, repentance and faith is the prescription for sinners. Christ Jesus, he has done the full work for salvation. Sins stand forgiven before God forevermore, and that cannot be undone. The readiness to which we are called as sinners is that of faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We are made ready, clothed, and prepared for the coming of the Master who will return at a time unknown to us, prepared and made ready through baptism, given the name of Christ and his righteousness. So return to the Lord. Repent of your sins. This is not done only once in our lives, but all life through. And as the people of God, fully atoned for and aware of all that Christ has indeed done for us, this becomes your desire. And you even crave to do it. Return to the Lord. Hear his word. Repent and turn away from your sinfulness. This is never done to earn your salvation, but because your salvation is earned already by Jesus. You can only repent and believe because of what Jesus has done for you. So our normal habit is to evaluate the past year, to make resolutions, resolve ourselves to do better for the future. Find what we did wrong. Find ways to improve. That is not the way of the Christian. To be as blunt as God is in His Word, you and I are sinners, even now. We will fail again this year, as we did last year and all the years before. You will never accomplish all that you desire. And that is okay, because the Lord Jesus has accomplished all things already for you. Not for Himself, but for you and for all people. Your desire then as a Christian is not to live a better life in the eyes of this sinful and broken world, but to find your rest, your return, your contentment in Jesus. Self-evaluation and resolution-making only lead to fearfulness and hopelessness. But the Lord Jesus Christ gives to you His grace, His identity as the chosen, holy, beloved Son of God. And now and always, you are fearless and hopeful in Christ. A happy new year indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and unto life everlasting. Amen. We stand for the prayers. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the peace from above, for the salvation of our souls, and for the redemption of the world, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the nation and those who lead us, for us to be good and responsible citizens, for those who judge guilt and innocence within the courts, and for those who protect us and enforce our laws, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Christ's holy church here and throughout the world, for this congregation, and for those who serve us with His word and sacraments, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the gift of time, and for a clear conscience through forgiveness, that we may let go of the past and embrace the future, confident of God's presence and grace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who suffer afflictions of body and mind, for the dying in their last days, and for those who mourn the loss of those they love, for all those we name silently at this time, that the God of all grace and peace would grant them His favor, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For courage under trial, for steadfastness before temptation, and for grace when persecuted for the sake of the faith, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For favorable weather, for the fruitfulness of the earth, for our deliverance from man-made and natural disasters, from pestilence and famine, and from trusting in earthly riches instead of God's grace and favor, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the protection of the holy angels, and for the Lord to frustrate the plans of the enemy and defend us against all evil, let us pray to the Lord. For our faithful reception of the holy sacrament of Christ's body and blood this night, and for our unity and harmony as the people of God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our remembrance of the saints, and for our own faithfulness to God's word and teaching, delivering to those to come the sacred deposit of pure doctrine and orthodox practice, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, blessed Lord. Recalling God's goodness in ages past, and living in hope and anticipation of that great day, when He shall come again in His glory, let us bring all these prayers and petitions to His throne of grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated as the tithes and offerings are collected. We stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead, and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death, and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth, adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us, and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In the beginning you created all things by your word, and in the fullness of time your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Let your word made flesh dwell richly among us, that faithfully eating his body and drinking his blood, we may receive the fullness of your grace and truth in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Jesus Christ, through heaven above God, you take the sin of the world away. You, Jesus Christ, through man and above God.
We stand to sing the Nunc Dimittis. Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated. Once again, a blessed Christmas to you and a happy new year. Lord's peace and safety be with you as you travel to and from your homes again this evening, maybe off to celebrate the New Year's as well. We have worship tomorrow morning, of course, 8 and 10:45, Bible class and Sunday school in between as a regular Sunday, so hopefully you're able to make it to that as well. I look forward to greeting you at the doors as we go forth into the new year in the name of our Lord.
Thank you.